Welcome everybody. Thank you for coming along to my session this afternoon. I see Windows 8 and Windows Server's pretty popular, so it's nice to have everyone turn up to a messaging presentation. I'm Nikolai Blackie, Principal Architect with a company called Adaptive Integration, also a VTSP for Microsoft. Over the last couple of years, we've been participating in several TAP programs across the Azure Service Bus, also the BizTalk 2010 R2 program, and also the BizTalk Platform as a Service program. So through a lot of the research and development we've been doing, we've learned a lot of things, and I thought this year we'd do a presentation on the upcoming integration services and kind of, I guess, position the services that are going to be useful in New Zealand context and kind of walk it through some of the scenarios that are going to be useful. So the agenda today, going to take everyone through, I guess, what I perceive to be some of the challenges in the New Zealand marketplace at the moment, what the upcoming integration features are on the Microsoft stack, so both on-premises and infrastructure as a service and platform as a service. I'll walk through a couple of integration scenarios where you can apply these new technologies, where you might find them useful. Brief overview of the integration roadmap. So most of the things that we're talking about today are still early CTP, and they're not due to be released probably until, you know, sort of 2013 timeframes. And I'll wrap up the session with a couple of key takeaways, some things that I'm, I guess, trying to impart around the integration services. So, yeah, what are some of the challenges facing New Zealand businesses today? So unless you've been living in a cave or working for an Australian bank, you'd realise there's a bit of a recession going on at the moment. So obviously there's a lot of pressure to do more with less. You're not getting the big budgets to do, you know, really massive greenfield projects. So quite often you're having to reuse existing infrastructure and existing systems, and integration plays a pretty key part with that. There's a lot of pressure on infrastructure. If any of you are into continuous integration or continuous delivery strategies, you'll know that, you know, you need a lot of hardware and a lot of environments to execute that properly. To quote the some of the infrastructure managers that I work with, my hardware requirements are eye-watering. There's also a lot of technology management overheads. So anyone that's trying to deploy a complex BizTalk environment in their infrastructure will know there's, you know, quite a lot of overhead managing these servers and these systems, deploying them, maintaining them. And there's also growing pressure to adopt new cloud platforms. So, you know, people are outsourcing their CRMs, their email, other core platforms. So there's a lot of pressure to integrate those systems back into the enterprise. So what's the integration landscape looking like today? So we've obviously got our on-premises stack, and we've got the some of the integration services that we get in Windows Azure. So our friend BizTalk 2010 deals with workloads around business activity monitoring and business rules engines, the enterprise application integration stack, so your messaging patterns orchestration. It handles your workloads around B2B and your EDI as well. And we've got a little tool called App Fabric Connect, which allows you to publish your BizTalk services via Relay through Azure. Overlaid on top of this, we've got the ESB Toolkit, allowing you to build service-oriented architectures on top of BizTalk. We have App Fabric for lightweight services and workflows as well. And you can choose to run all this either on physical infrastructure, or you can virtualize this and run this in Hyper-V. So on the Azure side, we've got the service bus features. So we've got topics and subscriptions. So those that might not know much about those, topics are effectively like a queue with a pub-sub mechanism attached to them. These are quite resilient as well, so they're built on top of SQL Azure. Then there's queues as well. Again, built on top of SQL Azure, really good redundancy. Everything backends onto SQL Server, and you know, they're really quite high performant. So compared to the standard Azure queues, they're much more high performing. So if you were ever choosing between the two, the service bus queues are the better approach. And then you've also got your relay services, so the ability to take your on-premise services or even your off-premise services, publish them via Azure, and then allow other people to consume through Azure, applying all your ACS security, and then relaying those requests through your firewall into your internal infrastructure in a secure manner. So this is the landscape that we've got today, a smorgasbord of choices. From a cloud perspective, it's really messaging oriented, so it's about application level integration, and your only real options for enterprise application integration on premises. So next I'm going to talk to some of the new features that are coming up in the next couple of quarters, and walk through a couple of scenarios how I believe you can apply those in a business context in New Zealand. So on-premises, we have BizTalk Server 2010 R2. So this got released to CTP, public CTP, last week. It's a closed TAP program for download that you can participate in. So some of the core features that are coming up with that is obviously platform alignment. So Windows Server 2012 is obviously just being released, Visual Studio 2012 as well, and SQL Server 2012. On the standard side, there's going to be increased standards for X12 and EDIFACT and also your HL7 standards. From a performance perspective, they're addressing some of the performance issues with ordered SEN ports, so they're increasing the performance there. And they're also addressing some of the performance with some of the other ordered adapters as well. There's going to be increased manageability as well. So currently the ESB toolkit ships as a separate standalone install. With the next version of BizTalk, they're going to bake that into the main installer, so you'll be able to deploy ESB with your main BizTalk installations without having to script things separately. And they're also going to start building visualizations into the BizTalk admin console. So currently, with the BizTalk admin console, you can see the individual resources, but you can't see the relationships between them. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring in visualizations so that you can see the dependencies between your different artifacts. And so if you're going to, do a deployment to one application, you can quickly and easily see what other applications depend on that. There's also going to be increased connectivity. So REST services currently are only supported using WCF behaviors on top of the custom WCF adapter. Now it's going to be a first-class citizen with its own bindings and templates. There's also going to be a new adapter for Azure Topics queues and relays. So this will be a native adapter, won't be built on top of WCF. There's also now an on-premise version of the Windows Azure Service Bus. Windows Service Bus. So it's an Azure Service Bus subset. So you get all the features of queues and topics, but these will be built on top of SQL Server. So this is currently a beta at the moment. So has anybody had an opportunity to download and play with that? How's that going?
A bit rough.
Yeah. Yes.
I was trying to do Azure and on-premise in the same box.
Yep.
The DLLs aren't merged yet.
Okay.
So there's a few walls there, yeah, just fighting with it.
Okay.
I mean, it'll be great when it's finished.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there'll be further releases coming hotly behind that. I guess one of the other core features with the on-premise service bus is that you've got high availability support, so you can cluster the service bus on-premise. And it's back-ended by SQL Server as well. So another core feature that's coming up, so obviously there's the Azure VM stack that's coming up. So if you come to Ryan's presentation tomorrow, he'll go into a lot more detail about that. But BizTalk 2010 R2 is going to be natively supported on that stack. If you haven't already, and you've got an MSDN account, make sure that you cache in all your Azure rights through your MSDN account, because you'll get basically free access to play with this stuff. It's the best way to spin up the latest BizTalk CTP, because it's available right now. So the way it's going to operate is that there's a pre-installed VM. All you have to do is basically spin up a new VM using that particular gallery item. And what you have is a pre-installed SQL Server, Visual Studio, and BizTalk, once you've provisioned that environment, then all you have to do is go in and configure the BizTalk instance, and you're up and running. So within about 20 minutes, you can get a quick proof of concept environment up and running. So the long-term vision for this is also to provide multi-node BizTalk installations with the same ease. So go into the VM gallery, select your configuration, and it'll automatically provision all that for you. So that takes care of a lot of the, I guess, technology overhead and management headaches around provisioning those BizTalk environments. If you can add into this the Azure Virtual Networks, you've then got an environment that can talk into your internal systems, and you're going to get a lot of value out of this. So next I'll talk to some of the integration scenarios around infrastructure as a service. So it's quite useful in the development space. So if you want to do a proof of concept, but you don't want to have to worry about spinning up, you know, VMs in-house, then you can really quickly provision these environments, have a bit of a tinker, and then tear it down, you know, at the end of the week without incurring a huge amount of overhead. Another possibility is also for contractor environments. So if you want to grow your team for a short period of time but don't want to have to permanently provision a whole lot of high-end equipment for development, you can use these environments for those contractors and then utilize the virtual network. Training is another compelling one. So just as soon as they released the Azure VM stack, I set up a BizTalk 2010 environment using pretty similar approach, pre-installed SQL and BizTalk, and then cloned that particular VM. Then when it came for the training, basically spun out 10 environments, configured them on the day, used them for the whole day, and, you know, barely made a dent in any of my MSCN resources. So if you've got short-run training sessions you want to do and you want to give everyone in the company a BizTalk environment, this is a really effective and easy way of doing it. So testing. This is another, I guess, compelling scenario for using the Azure VMs. So as I was saying, with continuous integration, there's quite a lot of pressure to have, you know, quite a lot of environments. If you're running a lot of feature branches, then you're going to be provisioning a lot of infrastructure. So using this, you'd be able to provision an environment, configure it into your continuous integration stack, and then through PowerShell, you can tear down those machines, shut them down, but keep the image stored, and then when you want to bring them back up to reuse next week, then you just reattach via PowerShell. So then you're only paying while those images are running, and you get quite a lot of cost savings out of that. Also quite useful for one-off project environments as well. So if you want to spin up a BizTalk environment for a short-run project, you can provision that for a couple of months, wouldn't break the bank, and then you can tear that down afterwards when you're complete. So I'll just give you a real brief demo of the BizTalk infrastructure as a service and how you can go about spinning up your own environments. All things working well. So, yeah, how many people are using Azure at the moment? A few. How many of you got MSCN accounts? Cool. You should definitely go and cash in, get your account, and you can have all the same fun that I've been having as well. So, yeah, it's basically this simple to spin up a new environment. You just go a new virtual machine, you go to the gallery, and basically select your BizTalk server 2010 CTP. And it's as simple as adding a couple of DNS names and an administrator password, and then it automatically provisions in the background. So I won't step through all that because it's not a huge amount of value, but I'll give you a quick demonstration on some of the new features. Don't fail me now. So, yeah, the current CTP is obviously deployed on 2008 R2, not the 2012 edition. So in this release, the only features that they've dropped are the service bus messaging adapter and some of the RESTful bindings. So we don't have any of the visualizations or anything fancy to show off, but because they're releasing it through the VM gallery, they can release updated CTPs every couple of months. So we should see those new features coming through pretty soon. So on the service bus messaging side, it's pretty simple to configure. So basically all we have is your queue or your subscription URL. So you can see my adaptive 10s namespace. So we zoom in, then yeah, basically we've got the topic and then the subscription that I'm subscribing to, which is my default subscription. So I guess, yeah, one tip that I learned while preparing all these demos, their adapter currently only supports RESTful messaging protocols. So if you write to your topic using SOAP protocols, then it's not going to read it off very nicely. You end up with a binary serialized payload, and you can't really do that much with it. Another little tip, if you want to get the address using the Cat Team Service Bus tool, you can come in and copy the subscription URL, and that'll copy that to your clipboard, and then you can paste that into your adapter binding. So it saves you some time trying to work out exactly what the path is for the subscription. So I'll come back to this demo after I'm finished, because yeah, basically one of the future one of the other demos we integrate from the platform as a service through to the infrastructure as a service. So we're talking about the on-premises features, the infrastructure as a service features. One of the other core capabilities that are coming up is integration as platform as a service. And I think this is one of the more compelling services that are coming up. It's going to provide you with, I guess, you know, utility-based integration, so you don't have to go out and buy BizTalk licenses or your server licenses. You can just pay as you go or as you use on the integration side. So In this first drop, we've got the Service Bus Enterprise Application Integration Stack. So what you get out of the box is this tool called the EAI Bridge. So the best way to think about EAI bridges is that they're like a BizTalk pipeline. So messages, as they run through, go through a series of stages, initially being the validation of your message. That message can either be a flat file or it can be an XML payload. Then it goes through an enrichment stage. So what the enrichment stage does is looks up properties either from the transport level that you can promote into the message context, or you can look at the message that's passing through and then promote XPaths to promote those properties into the context as well. Then it runs through a transform stage. So the product team's reinvented the transform engine, so it's no longer XSL-based. It's a XAML-based transform engine, much more higher speed. And they've added a couple of other improvements around looping and the ability to deal with sorting, so challenges around sorting and grouping and that sort of stuff as well. So I'll go into that a little bit of detail when I do the demo. And then the final part is routing to your destination. So the sources for the bridge, normally, the bridge is addressed by HTTP, and so you submit messages via a RESTful interface. You can submit plain text messages or typed XML messages to the bridge. In the most recent drop, they added in support for FTP as well. So if you've got an FTP server that supports SSL or just plain FTP, you can configure a source to reach out and grab messages from that FTP location. There's also a series of destination endpoints, so you can route the results of the bridge either to an external service or one of the Azure Service Bus relays, queues, or topics. And you can also interconnect the bridges as well, so the output from one bridge can be routed to another bridge, so you can chain those bridges together to compose several activities. There's also a limited form of tracking available now. So if you've ever worked with BizTalk and thought that that was a black box when you're trying to work with, you know, something that's across the other side of the world and you've got no access to any of the servers, the tracking is quite a useful feature. So what it does is it allows you to view the properties that you promote or enrich in the message on the way through the bridge, but you can also see what stage in the bridge it got to. So if it fails in a transform, then when you request the tracking information, you'll see that you have a failure at that stage. And so that can assist you with some of the troubleshooting. So right now, there's no on-premise development environment for this. So it's not like you're going to be able to debug your bridge on-site. So this is quite a useful feature. One of the other features that was released along with the EAI bridges is the Service Bus Connect. So this is more than likely going to be the replacement for AppFabric Connect. So What it effectively allows you to do is to publish your line of business systems as a service through the Azure relays. you get a nice GUI tool to be able to configure this up. It's configuration driven, so the SB Connect dynamically publishes all the relays and deals with everything, whereas with the App Fabric Connect tool, you had to basically generate code to publish this. So it's a much simpler and easier to work with environment. So basically, once you have set up your line of business target, it publishes it as a relay onto Azure, and then you're basically able to send any messages externally through that relay onto your on-premise environment. So this is currently hosted in IIS with App Fabric, so you get all the monitoring and diagnostics along with that. And it's built on top of the BizTalk WCF adapters, so it has support for Oracle, SAP, Siebel, and SQL. So as far as licensing goes, I don't know how this is going to be licensed once it gets in the wild, but at the moment, it's free. So yeah, what are some of the scenarios where you can use EAI Bridges and the Service Bus Connect? So one of the things that we see in our consulting around the country quite a bit is what I call, I guess, the national office scenario. So you have a head office, you've got several branches or distributed systems. Typically, the distributed systems aren't very new. They're normally quite legacy. They only support flat file outputs, and most of the time they might support FTP. And you've got to work out a way to get all that information centralized into your central systems where you can process them. So in this mock-up, we have a branch. It's publishing a flat file or something like that for purchase orders or invoices or something like that. We have a flat file bridge configured to pick up from an FTP source. So it picks up the flat file, converts it into a nice canonical message, and then we route through the relay to on-premise, and you might have a SQL server or something like that. It can then insert those records directly into your SQL server. So if you've got a line of business system that's not supported by the BizTalk line of business adapter, you can create your own WCF relay to expose that system as well and route those messages through. And so this scales out quite nicely across all the branches. There's not a huge cost overhead. You can just keep on adding FTP sources. You're just paying for the cost of that one bridge. So there's no software that you have to deploy down at the branch. and obviously on-premise as well. You don't have any additional software costs other than your existing line of business system. So that's quite a compelling argument for lowering some of your costs. Some of the other work that we do is with our SaaS-based financial services organization. They do a lot of integration on-site using BizTalk. One of the proof concepts that we're doing with them is to shift all their integration workload from on-premise into the cloud. So we'll be hosting web service endpoints and a series of flat file and XML bridges. These will output onto a series of topics and subscriptions. So basically, this gives us a lot of durability. The various institutions will send the messages through. They'll then go to their various subscriptions in their canonical format, and then the on-premise solution will reach out to the subscription and drag those messages in. So in the case of a DR event where we lose the main site, basically those institutions are still able to send their messages through. They know no different. When we fail over to the DR environment, we can start retrieving those messages as per normal. And the clients haven't had any interruption. We're going to be able to leverage off the resilience and high availability of the Azure platform. We basically won't have to shell out $500,000 on clustered environments to support this scenario. So I'll give you a little demo of EAI and some of the core features. So in this demo, basically going to demonstrate flat files coming from an FTP source, traveling through a flat file bridge, being relayed to a topic and subscription, and then we'll have my infrastructure as a service BizTalk instance picking up that message and at the moment dumping it on the file system, but in reality, it'll be doing some other value-add processing with that. So, So So this is the, I guess, the development environment for the bridges. On the bridge surface, you can lay out your sources and your destinations and then configure your bridges. So bridges come in two variations, either one-way bridges or two-way. On the FTP source side, we have quite basic settings. So obviously you can set, you know, all your server credentials, whether to use SSL, etc. Then we have our bridge configuration and our topic configuration. So the topic configuration is pretty simple. You just give it the entity name. You configure the namespace for the bridge on the top of the design surface. And then all the action happens inside the bridge. So to get to the bridge configuration, we double click in. So you can specify the receive message type. So in my case, I've got a flat file, what they call a CFD file. So lots of clearinghouse fees and et cetera. Then it passes through an XML validation stage. It also has two enriched stages. So they have a pre-transform enrich stage and then a post-transform enrich stage. So if we have a look at the properties of enriching post-transform, we can see that I've got a nice XPath that sets out the XPath identifier, the message that I'm going to be querying, then property name, the data type. You can also support different SOAP properties. So all the various SOAP actions, and you can also pull out various HTTP headers, and then you've got your also your FTP values as well. So on the transform side, so this is a redesigned, slightly redesigned transform engine. So it looks a lot like the previous generation of the BizTalk transform engine. You'll see that we have our kind of messaging, our transform functoids. So, you know, usual configuring of the inputs, adding your comments and labels. One of the main differences in some of the features are around, yeah, some of the miscellaneous options. So one of the cool operations is the get context property that allows you to take one of the properties that you've enriched and then map that into your destination scheme. One of the other good ones is the list operations. So what this allows you to do is to create an in-memory list within your transform, and then out of that list you can do operations such as ordering and grouping when you map through to the other side. So if you've ever tried to do this in a BizTalk map or even in XSL, it's quite a complex operation. So there's a couple of blog posts by the BizTalk product team around the use of that, and it's pretty useful. One of the other major changes is around looping. So they've introduced this concept of map each. So with the BizTalk transform engine, or the XSL transform engine, you just map your fields across. It would work out how to do the looping. Normally, you just end up with all these nested loops all over the place and quite inefficient XSL. With this map each, you can control explicitly how you do those mapping operations. So in the case where I'm mapping from multiple destination fields, basically I have to put in a map each and then map the various fields through this. And then likewise, when I want to create multiple underliers, like we've got on this side, I have to put map eaches inside that design surface as well. So one of the tips I guess I'd have is that, see that little arrow, the working scope? Basically, you have to set the working scope when you're working with that particular activity. So if the working scope's over here and I come back over to this message control area, I can't actually add any functoids. So that might catch you out if you're trying to edit one of these maps. And it's not, wasn't immediately obvious to me how that worked. So. No, it's a code base. So it's, generating XAML under the hood. And so then it gets compiled into code so it runs much more high performance. So there's a lot of additional features coming up soon, but because this is being recorded, I'm not going to say what they are. I was kind of hoping that things wouldn't be recorded and I could just drop in a couple of things, but I'm not going to. Okay, so I'll give a quick demo of this working. So with the bridge, I can actually submit a message directly to the bridge without actually going through my FTP sources. So I've created a couple of BizUnits, my favorite things. So what I've done is I've wrapped the utilities that come with the SDK with various BizUnit steps that kind of take away some of the complexities of interacting. So I basically have a simple test case. I spin up a bridge message send step and then just set the runtime address that I want to send to, the protocols and all the issuer key information. So if I run this test, it'll go off, it'll submit a message REST XML directly to my bridge, and then when it's done, it will also go through and pull out all the tracking information associated with the submission. So that passed. And so you can see, so you can see that it's successfully sent a message to this endpoint. It's given us a nice little tracking ID. So that's the ID you pass into the tracking service to pull out all your information. And then one of the next steps, it goes to the tracking endpoint and pulls out all the data. So it's not very readable in here. So if I bring up the XML version, so this reads back to front, so obviously the first events are at the bottom, and you can step through and see the various stages that it goes through, so starting the pipeline, validating, running the transform, doing my XPath extractor for the enrichment, then up here we can see the submit a message ID that it generated, and it goes all the way through the routing and through to completion. So if this had failed at any stage, then through that tracking information, I could see where that had fallen over. And another test. Oh well. Close. So I'll log in. So another test is demonstrating the FTP stuff. So another, I guess, undocumented feature is that the FTP only polls every 30 seconds, so by the time I put a message in here, it can be anywhere between 10 and 30 seconds before it actually pops up. So if we go and jump on, jump on the VM, it's just stopped. Okay. So because I'm routing through to my topic, my BizTalk instance is monitoring all the default subscriptions and pulling those transformed messages off and just chucking them on the file system on my BizTalk 2010 R2 environment. So come in here, 502, so here's all my messages starting to come through. So my little unit test message with all my dummy data in it, and then my actual messages with multiple CFDs all nicely populated. And so, it's pretty easy to work with. Only, took a couple of hours to throw together these demos. It's nice, usual visual tools environment that you can work with. And so you can see all of my other messages coming through slowly as well. So one of the other features that has been released is basically EDI as a service. So currently the support for X12 and EDIFACT is coming, so obviously not very good for New Zealand, fine for proof of concepts, but you can't really build anything useful. So with this, there's a web-based trading partner management endpoint. So it's a web-based console, and you can go and manage all your EDI artifacts, so set up all your AS2 agreements with your partners. You can also set up all your identifiers, transforms, and other artifacts. So you don't have to administer everything through PowerShell or anything like that, which is quite a nice change. Publish your EDI endpoints via HTTP, AS2, or FTP. And again, it routes through to relays, topics, queues, or bridges. So the difference with the EDI is that whereas the bridge, you configure, I guess, the whole bridge entity and then deploy that into Azure, with EDI, you actually deploy the individual artifacts into the portal manually. So you upload the transforms and your schemas. You don't actually create a big EDI bridge, which is one of the big variations. So, yeah, so one of the obvious scenarios is around supply chain where you could use this. So basically you have your customers sending through their sales orders. In this case, they're X12, X40 messages. You have your EDI bridge in your trading partner management portal. You obviously have your EDI manager setting up the relationships within EDI, specifying all the identifiers and what types of messages you're going to be exchanging between the two parties. And then in this case, you could use something like Service Bus Connect or WCF Relay to expose your sales order system to Azure. So in this case, an order comes through, gets routed through EDI and one of the EDI bridges, and then inserted into your line of business system. So you could, if you're running just-in-time ordering, you could discover that you don't have any stock on hand, and you could send an EDI order out to one of your suppliers to fulfill that order. And then likewise, you could add in your logistics provider and send out shipment manifests and that sort of stuff to them to organize the shipping. Also, with Azure, obviously, because you host all the websites, you could create a custom portal that leverages off all the infrastructure. So you could allow customers to create their orders through a web-based portal and then integrate into the EDI backend systems to add the sales orders as well. So I'll give you another quick demo of the EDI components and walk you through a brief scenario. So basically, publishing an EDI endpoint for sales order messages that gets processed through EDI and routed to an EAI bridge that then sends a message down to my laptop, actually, and inserts a record into SQL Server. So the EDI scheme, typical ugly flat file schema with a billion fields. And then we've got our transform to go from the EDI message into our simplified canonical sales order scheme. The output of the EDI processing then routes through to a two-way bridge that I have running for my sales order demo. And so this basically takes in the sales order, transforms into my SQL insert, and then routes that message down to my order processing system, which has been basically exposed off my laptop. So it's basically the sales order processing sales order entity. And if we look at the address, it's exposed at this relay endpoint. So at the moment, I guess the design time experience is that you have this Service Bus Connect Explorer. It hosts up a service on your machine, and you can quite easily create different line of business targets using this. So I won't walk through that, but it's basically as simple as providing some credentials into your SQL Server and then selecting which operations that you're going to expose. So in this case, we're exposing a SQL insert through that adapter. So if we go and look at the Trading Partner Portal, so this is the beta release for the Trading Partner Portal. So you can specify the various partners. You can specify the agreements for AS2 and X12. So like in this case, I'm not using AS2 to publish this. I'm using HTTP. You're also able to set up all the tracking that you want to support for your EDI. And in our case, I can set up the receive settings. So this is my receive endpoint for submitting EDI messages over HTTP. You can configure the message type that you're going to process for this agreement. So in this case, we're using the X12840 message standard. You can select which transform to apply. So this is the transform that's taking the EDI message and turning it into a canonical sales order message. And then we've got our routing step. And so at the moment, I'm routing to another to a service bus bridge that I've exposed at this endpoint and left with the default file name. So if I come back to my tests, so I've set up a nice EDI test that'll submit an EDI message to my endpoint. So there's my long-winded endpoint for my Northwind Contoso agreement, and I'll be sending through an EDI message, and then, yeah, again, calling through to the tracking. So I'll run that up. So what this will do is this will submit a message to EDI. It'll then run it through my bridge. My bridge will then insert into SQL Server. So no sales orders there at the moment. That has passed. So it's probably somewhere in the bridge, and now it's inserted into my database. The relay will also return a response back that you can then consume or route to another destination from the bridge. So in amongst my tests, I can also, so I can either submit to the EDI endpoint, or I can also reuse that bridge and then submit a canonical message directly to that bridge, and it'll have the same result. This should be a lot quicker. So yeah, there's my second sales order that's come through. And if I look at the results, you can see that this is published out. So it's submitted successfully to the relay bridge, and then it's received my insert response with the ID of the insert. And then if we come back up to the Trading Partner Portal, so in the Trading Partner Portal, you've got the ability to view the tracking for the EDI as well. So this is basically exactly the same as the tracking service that I'm calling in returning XML, but it gives you a nice formatted view, although it's quite unreadable. If it's working. Okay, cool. So we can see, the message we sent through at 5:10. And I've lost the view link. And so, it gives you the details about the parties involved and then the log of all the various steps. So where this differs from the other tracking is that you can also download the X12 message that was processed. So that's one of the other core features that's going to be coming up, the ability to archive off messages as part of the tracking as well. So you'll quite likely be able to select your own blob storage where you want those messages to go, and then you'll be able to query those based on the tracking IDs that you get back from your submissions. Cool. So, what's the integration landscape looking like tomorrow? So it's quite different. So obviously now we've got 2010 R2, all our usual features. The ESB toolkit is now going to be baked into the platform, not an add-on. We're obviously going to have the Service Bus Connect as well for, I guess, easier publishing of your line of business applications as a service. You've also got your Service Bus queues and topics that you can run on-site. And again, all running on Hyper-V. So on the Azure side, we've got our Service Bus, but now we've also got the added capabilities around B2B and EDI and your enterprise application integration capabilities as well. So And then, of course, the infrastructure as a service, VMs. So now you've kind of got more of a, yeah, more options for how you can approach any particular integration. So you might want to retain your EAI integration on-premise. You might want to take all your external integration and then host that as platform as a service in Azure. If you're a startup, you might decide to host everything out of Azure. So you've got a lot more options for how you want to construct and compose your services in future. So the integration roadmap. So the Azure Platform as a Service, the first drop was in December 2011. You got the basic XML bridges and some of the EDI capabilities. Then 5 months later, April 2012, we got quite a big refresh, support for FTP, flat file, more transform functions, some extended capabilities. So I guess the thing to take away from this is that the BizTalk release cadence is every 2 to 3 years when you get a big drop. With the platform as a service, expect to see new features probably every 4 to 6 months. So some of those capabilities around BAM and BRE that currently aren't supported on Azure, you'll see those coming through thick and fast over the next couple of years. So that's another one of the benefits, I guess, around adopting platform as a service. You're going to get richer features released more often as well. So what's coming up? So when I wrote this slide, the BizTalk 2010 R2 CTP hadn't been released, but that's now available, and you can go and play with that today. The on-premises version of 2010 R2, the public commitment is 6 months after the release of Windows 8, so should be somewhere around April next year. And in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be another drop of EAI and EDI coming with some more enhancements around mapping and some of the other processes. So, key takeaways from my session. So, BizTalk's not dead, contrary to popular belief. There's continued investment from the product team. They're looking to increase the cloud capabilities of the platform, so allow you to integrate your on-premise applications with your cloud-based applications. They're going to continue to support those standards around X12, Swift, et cetera. They're bringing out performance enhancements. So if 1,200 messages a second is not fast enough for you, then they're looking to improve those benchmarks. So BizTalk has infrastructure as a service. I consider this to be an enabler. So you can set up your development, your training, and your testing environments. If you've got infrastructure, I guess, team members that are surly as mine, they're not normally that friendly about giving you lots and lots of kit. So with your MSDN accounts that you've activated, you can go off and set up your own environments. So on the EAI, EDI side and the service bus, it's going to be a low-cost option. You don't have to shell out large amounts of licensing for your on-site integration. You can do tactical or even strategic implementations. You're going to get resilience out of the box, through the Azure stack. You're going to be able to implement, innovative DR strategies for your platforms. You're going to be able to scale on demand as well, which is quite an important feature. If you, what's a good example? Like end-of-year returns, you suddenly get flooded with 3 million returns for one particular month. Adopting a platform as a service strategy would allow you to take all that load and then process it as necessary, and then you don't have to have infrastructure requirements, to process 3 million messages for the rest of the year. And you can also offload your EDI workloads. So, rather than having to provision a whole environment to do EDI messaging with one of your partners, if you're a small business owner, you can now, provision this all through Azure and pay as you go. You've also got the ability to do on-premises hybrids, so you don't even have to deploy BizTalk to integrate on-premise. You can use the Service Bus Connect tool. Expose your line of business systems via the cloud. And I guess it's kind of cloud on your terms, so you don't have to take all your systems and deploy them in Azure. You can leave your crown jewels on site and expose just the services you want through a tool like Service Bus Connect. So related content. So yeah, make sure you get along to Emil and Ryan's session on virtual machines. It's quite a compelling feature that's been released on Azure, and I think you know it's going to gain a lot of traction in New Zealand. Also, get along to the streaming site. That's very, very cool. If you've got messaging workloads over 100,000 messages a second, then that's the technology stack for you. And then also planning for failure in cloud applications. So yeah, it's one of my personal favorite topics. So yeah, I guess if you want any follow-up questions or anything, obviously this is the last session of the day, so I can spend all the time I want afterwards. But yeah, feel free to contact me via email or my Twitter handle. And yeah, the resources slide. So yeah, get along to MSDN and cash in your Azure rights. Oh yes, and please evaluate my session and be kind. Cool. Well, thank you very much. Any questions?
Yep. Just from your experience of actually trying to take some BizTalk components and get them into EAI, EDI, what those components are actually reusable, and what can you do in your BizTalk application to actually make the forward component easier?
Yeah. So I guess. So yeah. So what aspects of your BizTalk solution can you deploy right now? At the moment, only your schemas. Obviously, orchestration workloads are not supported, but on the mapping side, there are some good news coming with that. So right now, you're kind of forced to rewrite your maps in the mapping tool, but yeah, coming soon, you'll be able to reuse a lot of that effort you've put into your on-site stuff.
Okay, that includes your flat file schemas and your EDI schemas as well?
Yeah, so flat file and EDI schemas.